First Corinthians chapter number 12. Praise God. It sounds strange, but I can hardly wait until the day that we send a group of people out to youth camp, youth conference, and it's more that's going to conference that's even here. Amen. Praise God. Because one of these days, these young people are going to get a little bit older. Praise God. Amen. I believe that God will establish a group of young people. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going back to the gifts of the Spirit, beginning at verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For unto one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We believe, Lord Jesus, that you have given these gifts unto the church for a purpose, for a reason. And I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to be understanding, not as only to why that you gave them, but what the use is for, God, and why and how that it helps us in such a time as this. And we believe, God, that through the foreknowledge that you had of all things, God, that these gifts work, even especially in our day and in our time, God. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight. Let revelation come, and we'll be quick to give you praise and glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. So I quickly want to go over a little bit of review that we did this past Sunday night. We talked about the subject of the gifts, and that there was a truth to be applied, in that Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant. And so there are some things that we may be ignorant of, but Paul does not want the gifts of the Spirit to be one of these things. And in reality, it probably it can be one of the most contentious parts in a service, and it was never designed to be that way. And I feel that way simply because that there has been a lot of, as Brother Johnson called it, goofiness that happened. Nevertheless, two reasons. I feel like because that there has been some of that, and more than likely a lot of that, that people have strayed away from it. It's become more of a charismatic thing. God didn't give this to the charismatics. God gave this to the true church, and it needs to be in operation. I personally feel that it needs to be more in operation in our church in such a time as this, in these latter days. And I'm not saying that it didn't need to be in operation in a foreday, in a foretime. Amen. But in such a time as this, when in reality, the church of the living God is fighting spirits and such, and we are looking at that churches where people desire to go, where there is mega talent, there is a mega building, there are mega people, and they can get mega lost, you know, in amongst all the people, and they don't have to worry about anything, and so they just go, and it just appeases their conscience. And the only way that the right word is not necessarily compete, but the only way that we can compete with such a place is we've got to have something that they don't have. And what they don't have is the true living God, and then also the things of God. They don't have the true Spirit of God, and that is something that I have been praying diligently over the past several weeks, is that, God, there are several things that I am going to seek for more than anything. And I am seeking for a message. I am seeking the mind of God. But I am I'm telling God, God, it is of utmost importance that we have an undeniable visitation of your presence in the place. That when people come into this place, and it's not just people, the saints of God, you need confirmation. You need it when you go, when you're out and you're working in the world and such, and then you come into the house of God, and sometimes nothing needs to even be said. It's just that presence that is there, and that presence just begins to be a peace that passes understanding, and nothing necessarily has to be said. It's just that undeniable presence of God in the place that you feel like your burdens have been lifted. You feel a peace that passes under. You can't explain it, but you just know it's that Spirit. And sinners as well, when they come into this place, I've preached it several times, but a lady in the church there in Katy, Texas, how that she had went to Joel Osteen's church, and she had went to the other churches, the big Second Baptist church that's multiple thousands and stuff, and she came back to our little church of 30, and she said, I don't know what the difference is. She said, I've been to Joel Osteen's, that's 15, 20,000 people, and I've never felt there what I have felt here. And that has got to be the difference. And I pray, God, we've got to have an undeniable move of your presence. That moving that you just feel chill bumps on top of chill bumps. Just that you've seen it before. Just the wave of glory as it just sweeps through the house. That sometimes it sweeps from the front to the back. Sometimes it comes from the back to the front. And sometimes it's just from side to side. And you just see it. And all just comes across. And it's just contagious and stuff. You got to have that undeniable moving of the Holy Ghost that causes people to feel the unction of the Spirit. And then I've said, God, I want a drawing, for no man can come unto you except that your Spirit would draw them. I pray, God, that there would be an undeniable drawing to the altar, that people feel the necessity to respond to the Spirit of God that is there and that is moving. And so they respond. They come to the altar. And then I said, God, if you don't help them in this altar, there's nothing that we can do, because we cannot fill them with the Holy Ghost. And so let them feel that. Meet them there. Meet them at the altar and let them feel that. And ultimately, the responsibility is upon us. We've got to create that atmosphere that can happen. But when we do create that atmosphere, God's not going to fail on his part. And then in situations like this, we need the gifts of the Spirit. And we don't need goofiness, but we need the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church. And it'll probably hopefully it scares the devil out of some people. but you know what? It'll scare people because they don't understand it. They don't know what's going on. And they'll, but just to feel that is there, and the things that happen. And it's gifts of the Spirit is not, tongues and interpretation and tongues and interpretation, tongues and interpretation, and that's it. There are seven other gifts. We need the tongues and interpretation, but there are seven other gifts that we need in operation in the church. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We need these things in operation, and we'll explain and talk about them in time to come. But they're the subject of the gifts, that there is to be a truth that is applied. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. You need to understand these things. You need to understand how that they act in the service, and you need to understand the parameters of them. He said, let everything be done decently and in order, and understand the effects of these things that can be in there. So there was the test that was to be applied, and that's no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so you need to have the Holy Ghost. Somebody, our visitor that came in Tuesday night, I wouldn't expect him to come in, and give me a word of prophecy. But you know what? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You should have been at prayer meeting. You would have understood. One time I remember going into a fellowship hall one time, and it was dark, and I walked in and I flipped the light on, and there was a man. There's a man sitting there almost in the middle of the fellowship hall at a table, and he's just sitting there in the dark. And so it kind of is awkward and kind of scared me, and I'm like, I didn't expect to see you in here. I mean, he's not in the church. He doesn't go to church there. And so I looked at him. I said, can I help you? And he said, I am an angel from the Lord. And the Lord has sent me to tell you that you need to take me to Dallas. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'm not taking you to Dallas. And he said, if you want to be obedient and please the Lord, then you will take me to Dallas. I have a job. I have a work to do there. And I said, I'm not taking you to Dallas. All right. I said, now, if you need something in the church, I'd be willing to help you around here. I said, but other than that, I'm going to go get the pastor and stuff. He's like, oh, please do. And so, you know, I mean, by the Bible said that by their fruits, you shall know them. I looked at this man's fruits and I knew he was not an angel. All right. There was a few things that we understand, and you know, that he was not an angel, just by his disposition and by his, not just his mannerisms, but by his looks and by his dress and by everything else there and stuff, you know, he's not an angel. And, beyond all of that. So anyways, we understand that God is not going to break his word to get his will across. And there's a lot of people that will say, well, this is the will of God. The problem that I have with that is it doesn't line up to the word of God. It's anti-biblical. It makes absolutely no sense. It goes against the scripture, and they're calling this, oh, this is the will of God. The scary part is when they said, God told me. Because if God told you, then who am I to tell you anything? I mean, I'm just the pastor. You're hearing from God, and God's telling you that. Well, I mean, God's above me. There's nothing that I'm going to be able to tell you, nothing I'm going to be able to help you with, other than that God's will never supersede his word. It is his word that is forever established in heaven. Praise God. And so it's going to follow. When these things happen, it's going to follow the word of God. We need to understand the source of the gifts. There are different distributions that differ in service ministration, offering varieties of operation, but it's the same God, the Bible said, who inspires and energizes them all in all. The scope of the gifts, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. There are three kinds of gifts. There's the divine ability to know, the gifts of revelation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. There is the divine ability to act, gifts of faith, gift of healing, working of miracles, and the divine ability to speak, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of in tongues. There is the importance, the importance of the gift. Paul said now concerning the spiritual gifts. In other words, the spiritual gifts. They're not natural. They're not conjured up. You're not going to get these by being in college longer. You're not going to become more efficient at them by being educated. It's not talent, but it is by the Spirit. And verse number 8, he said, by the Spirit, capital S, dividing unto man severally as he will. Verse number 11. So these gifts flow from the mind of God, who alone knows the special needs of both the individuals and the congregation. Again, this is not a talent. It's not a skill. It's spiritual. It is supernaturally enabled. And then he tells us in verse number 13, we didn't read it in the text, but in verse number 13, he tells us that we ought to covet earnestly the best gifts. The best gifts. So which one of these nine are the best gifts? Well, since the gifts of the Spirit are for the purpose of edifying and strengthening, we can surmise that those gifts are the best and are most profitable to the church. And not only that, because obviously there's other gifts, and we'll talk a little bit about that and such, but these spiritual gifts, they are the ones that are the best. And it has also been suggested that by the best gifts, Paul was simply meaning the best one for the situation at hand. Amen. What we need now, that'll be the best gift. Amen. Praise God. You know, if I'm needing a word of knowledge right now, then the best gift is not healing. You know, the best gift is not the working of miracles. The best gift is the word of knowledge. But, you know, if I need healing, then a word of wisdom is not the best gift. I need a gift of healing. That's what I need. And so the best gift is the one that is needed for the situation at hand. And then he said in chapter number 14 and verse number 26 to let all things be done unto edifying. And edifying is for the building up. And I know I skipped a couple of chapters and a whole lot of verses there, but all of these culminate and put together in that he states that all of these things be done unto edifying. Amen. For the building up of the church. Praise God. You know as well as I know, we have heard tongues and interpretation that, again, as Brother Johnson just alludes to. I'm just saying that so I can get away with saying goofiness, because we've heard a lot of goofiness. And we've heard, I've heard interpretation that was nothing but, you know, one saint trying to get at another saint. And such. And so, anyways, they told me of an interpretation that came forth at youth camp, and concerning that, you know, my servant, you know, I have already dealt with you, and this is my child. I am signifying this is my child that you need to marry, and such. So I mean, the ends is totally open, praise God. But with proper teaching and such like that, we can eliminate a lot of that. Praise God. And I am very, very thankful for the gifts that we have seen and heard in operation in this church. And it's not just the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation, but there are other gifts that have been in operation. And we'll speak about them as we go along. But let's go ahead and let's dive into this, and I promise you I have more information here tonight than I have time on a clock, and so we're just going to go for a while, and whenever I feel like we quit, we'll just quit. We'll go home, and I'll just say that I don't want to be too far ahead of all of those that's going to come in next week, and I don't want them to be ignorant concerning these things. Praise God. So, let's talk about these things. First of all, we have the gift of revelation, the gifts of revelation. This is the divine ability to know. And there are three gifts that are there. First of all, 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, Paul writing, and he said, For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And then in verse number 10, he says, unto another, the discerning of spirits. And this is the gift of revelation, the ability to know, the divine ability to know. And I'm not going to put these or to take these in the order that they're given. For instance, Paul writing, and he says that the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then later on he talks about the discerning of spirits. And so what I want to talk about first of all tonight is I want to talk about the word of knowledge. A lot of what I have here tonight is just factual. It is resources pulled from several different sources. And so I am going to be reading quite a bit, and then we will elaborate in a more perfunctory way, a little more preachy way, as we go through this. But let's talk about the word of knowledge. And there are similarities between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, but there is very, very important differences there. And before dealing with these differences, let me point out that both of these, and I'll reference it again in a little bit, but both of these is not the gift of knowledge, and it's not the gift of wisdom, but it is the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And there is very much a very, very distinctive difference in that. And whereas the word of wisdom instructs a person on how to deal with certain facts, it very well may be that the word of knowledge imparted unto them those facts. So you have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge working hand in hand together. But that doesn't mean that it has to be. It doesn't mean that when you have a word of wisdom, you have to have a word of knowledge, or that when you have a word of knowledge, you have to have a word of wisdom. For instance, when we have tongues and interpretation, tongues is not going to profit anybody anything if there is not an interpretation. You need an interpretation. And as a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that he that speaks in an unknown tongue, let him pray that he would be able to interpret it. And so in reality, the responsibility of that is naturally upon the one that gives the tongues. And obviously, that's not what happens, and I'm not saying that that's what needs to happen, but that is where the burden and the weight is put upon it. And so for an individual that gives tongues, they ought to be praying. Now, God, I appreciate that you have used me in this, but this is not really helping anybody if we don't know what you've said. And so I'm praying, God, that you would use me to interpret this as well. Amen. Back to the word of knowledge. All right. So a word of knowledge is the divine impartation of certain facts that the recipient could not have possibly known any other way. And you do not have to have a word of knowledge before you can have a word of wisdom. And you don't have to have the word of wisdom before you have a word of knowledge. These are spiritual gifts that do impart unto us the unknown. This gift of revelation by the Spirit of facts concerning places and peoples. Let me come back to that. Let me just explain what I just said. So the word of knowledge is that God imparts unto us things, facts, reality that no man can possibly know. Now understand that there may be some things, there may be a few people that would know such things, but to the individual that this is going to, they have no knowledge of it whatsoever at all. It is divinely imparted. This isn't the chain of gossip. This isn't preacher talking to preacher and they've enlightened somebody. I understand that you know, Brother Abernathy may call me and say, hey, Rev, you know, there's something that you need to know. And so-and-so in your church was talking to this individual, and they said this and this and this, and you just need to know that, and I just thought that I would let you in on that. And I could say, well, thank you. And I think that there's a very fine line. Now, did God reveal that to me? I think in a fine way, God did reveal that to me, because I would not have known it any other way. But for the fact of it is that God didn't necessarily reveal it to Brother Abernathy, but a saint in his church told it. But it is God working and bringing forth facts, bringing forth knowledge that is unknown. But for me to stand up and say, you know what, I've got a word of knowledge for you, and God spoke to me, and God told me thus, thus, and this. God didn't say that to me. Brother Abernathy said that to me. And I want to be very careful about what I say. God told me. Now, in a way, God did bring it to my attention. But for me to just say, you know what, God spoke to me and God told me thus, thus, and thus, and thus. Brother Abernathy's name is not God. I love him, I appreciate him, but he ain't God. All right, so I'm going to be very careful in that sense. And I'm not going to take advantage of these things. But if God says, then I'm going to say, amen, God said these things. But a word of knowledge is that God would bring it to our attention, things that we don't know that are going to be important for a certain situation. Amen. Now, when God gives us these facts, there's things that you may say, you know what, I just don't know what to do. I'm just at my wit's end, you know, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, I just don't know what I should do. And so I said, well, you know what, let's pray about this. And as we're praying about this, God speaks to me. And so I come to you and I say, look, I'm just going to tell you what God revealed or what God told me about or God impressed upon me. And thus, 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 and thus. And this is gonna happen. This is going to be the way that it's going to go down. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Line upon this is the way that it's going to happen. And when you get the facts, you don't necessarily need a word of wisdom, because sometimes common sense kicks in. And you can just say, okay, well, if that's the case, then I know how to respond about that. Say, look, I'm going to tell you something. This is the way that your kid is going to respond. You need to go and you need to say this and this. And then when you do that, that's going to open some things up, and this is what's going to happen. It's divine facts that you have no knowledge of. And you say, well, when that happens, I know how to take care of that. You don't need a word of wisdom. Now, sometimes when the facts would come, you would say, oh, I have no earthly idea what to do. And you know what? I may have some common sense or a little bit more sense, because the Bible states, and that's where the word of wisdom kicks in. And it's not just the word of wisdom, but I'm jumping so far ahead of myself. But the Bible said that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it unto them liberally. And so there are people, just as you know, as well as I know, there are people that we would consider to be more wise than others. And so if somebody is not so wise and on the side of simple, then they're going to need somebody that's more wise. But when it's beyond all of us, or when it's beyond the two, when it's beyond what's there, then God can give a word of wisdom. But the word of knowledge is facts about things that we don't understand, that we don't have, amen, that we are unaware of, amen. This is the word of knowledge. And so this gift is the revelation of the Spirit concerning facts, places, people, things, their existence, conditions, or even locations. And it is information that only God can be aware of, that the recipient could not otherwise know at any time. And so the word of knowledge can be a wonderful aid in prayer. Yeah, you don't have to have a preacher to have a word of knowledge. And we'll talk about all of that here in just a minute. Amen. As we begin to define the parameters of such. But you don't have to have a preacher, amen, for a word of knowledge. And just so that you know, say, well, how does a word of knowledge act and how does it manifest itself in a church service? You don't know if a word of knowledge has already came forth in this service here tonight. That there possibly could be somebody in any given service that you're saying, you know what, I'm at my wit's end, I don't know what to do, I don't know what's going on and stuff, and then all of a sudden the Bible, the preached word of God, the powerful word of God that has the ability to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart and knows what's going on, amen, begins to manifest itself. And as the preaching is going forth, there are things that begin to be put out that to everybody else they have no clue or no idea, but you know. And then all of a sudden that word comes forth and you're like, whoa, I was unaware of that. But you know what? That just enlightened everything. Because I was looking through a glass darkly, but all of a sudden the preached word of God came by and began to clarify things, began to take the veil off of things, and facts were put forth and such. And it's the same with the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom will come forth through the preached word of God. And you say, I don't even know what to do. And then all of a sudden the word of God comes forth and everybody else is just, amen, oh, that's good, praise the Lord. And you're like, oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear, because that's exactly what I need to do. Well, in your life, a word of wisdom has been enacted in your life, or a word of knowledge, amen, has taken place in your life. And that's just one inference or reference, amen, that can happen in this type. And so we know that a word of knowledge has been abused concerning time, sometimes by well-meaning people and other times not so well-meaning people. And there are those that have built entire ministries by using some type of a word of knowledge and just stating, you know, God told me that everybody that puts an envelope in this plate tonight, God's going to double it and bless you. And so somebody says, well, that's a word of knowledge. I need to act upon that. And so they have prospered their ministries through this. And there have been others that have prospered because of certain things and certain gifts that have been abused in the Bible. But that doesn't mean we throw them out. Amen. We still need these, but we need the real one. We need the genuine move of the Spirit in the church. Amen. We need these. We need to be praying. I pray oftentimes as I'm praying. And back as an evangelist, I would watch the congregation. And many times I would stand in the back while everybody's praying and such. And I would be praying and I would be watching. And I would pray very, very specific things. And I would say, God, can you use me to help somebody tonight? God, give me a word of wisdom for somebody. Give me a word of knowledge for somebody. Somebody that needs this. Oh God. And I would pray that. And I remember one particular time in Louisiana preaching there. And I got up to preach. And I just encouraged the church to worship the Lord. And people began to worship. And the Spirit of God. It took a little while. It was dry. It was really, really dry. Just kind of like your yard is today. Unless you've been watering it with the sprinkler. It's dry. And so I'm encouraging everybody to worship the Lord and stuff. And I just felt, you know what, I need to go pray for that young man right there. And so I just stepped down and went over there and started praying for one. And it was one kind of towards the back. I saw them and they were just kind of, you could tell they were fighting, letting go and breaking loose. And they had a grip on the front pew like a bulldog. And so they're just holding that thing and they're just, I could just tell. Now, I don't know if God highlighted them, but it wasn't like they were glowing or anything, but I could just tell that they were ready. They needed something. And so I just felt, you know, go pray for them. And so I went back there and I laid my hand on them and I began to pray for that individual. And God began to work in there. And all of a sudden, a word of knowledge came forth. And I began to speak to this individual. And it was things that more than likely they knew, but I had no idea. And I just began to say, you know what, you're fighting this. And I just told them everything that they were fighting and on and on. And, you know, you've been debating this and been debating that. And it's just a word of knowledge pouring in. It was like God saying, see, I told you, I see. And you've been saying, God, do you even know where I'm at? And I'm saying, yes, I know where you're at. And I'm telling you, you know, because this preacher doesn't know you from Jack or Jill. And he's telling you everything that's going on in your life. And there's a word of knowledge. I didn't know anything about it. And so here I am, and I'm talking to this individual just breaks and just starts bawling and crying and stuff. And the hands go up, and tears are flowing. And soon they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I turn around and I look, and here's a lady over there. And she's struggling and stuff. And I just felt the Lord said, go pray for her. And so I went over there and I started praying for her. And for the next 45 minutes, that's what happened. That's what happened. And the reason that I say that is because I was getting ready to go back up on the platform and I turned around and I saw a young man standing at the front and I just felt the Spirit quicken me and say, go pray for him. And so I went and prayed for him and I started talking to him and everything. Well, 3 weeks later when we closed out the revival, that young man came to me and his pastor was standing right there and he said, oh, Brother Cowan, I'm so glad that I caught you before you got out of town. We had hooked our trailer up and we were getting ready to pull out. And he said, I just wanted to tell you something. I said, okay. He said, you remember that one service when you went around praying for everybody and such? I said, I do. I remember it very well. And he said, well, all day long, and he drove a community coffee truck. You probably don't know what community coffee is, but you ought to try it out. That's good stuff. Yeah, somebody knows. Yeah, that's good stuff. He said, all day long, I was praying. He said, I got up in the morning time, I was praying, God, I need a word from you tonight, God. I need a word from you. I just need it. I'm just dry. I need it. And he said, all day long, I was praying, God, use Brother Cowan to preach to us tonight. And he said, God, he said, all day long, I was praying that you'd preach. He said, and you didn't even preach. He said, and you started praying for everybody and stuff. And he's like, I'm thinking to myself, man, I really need him to preach. I need a word. I need him to preach. He said, and you got ready to go back up on the platform. And he said, I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, oh, hopefully he preaches or something. He said, and you turned around, you walked over, and you laid your hands on me, and you started praying for me. And he said, and everything that I needed, you started speaking to me. He said, you started telling me all the things that was going on in my life and everything and such. He said, that's one of the most powerful services I've ever been in my entire life. And it's not me. That's the gifts of the Spirit in operation. That was a word of knowledge that was coming to that young man. And more than likely a word of wisdom that was coming to that young man. Look, you know, as we get into all this, I'm kind of mixing these things together. But this is the way that God works. Amen. And so it doesn't have to be that somebody would stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. But we can be experiencing and we can be expecting the different gifts to be in operation in the service at any given moment. The songs can be singing and things can be going and all of a sudden the gift of faith come into the place and somebody respond to the gift of faith. It's not the faith that we've got to have to please God. Amen. But just the gift of faith would come in and settle and somebody responds to that gift of faith and the urgency of the Spirit kicks in and takes us to places that maybe we've never gone before, elevates us to a place so that God can really do His work in there. And so it's not like we're sitting down and planning it and saying, all right, now we're going to have a word of knowledge right now and we're going to pause for this commercial break with a song and then we're going to have, you know, the gift of healing. Everybody come to the front and let's practice the gift of healing and let's have the working of miracles amongst us. No, God does as He wills, as He desires. Amen. Be in the pre-service prayer and something begins to move and begins to happen and one of the gifts begins to move and begins to operate in the church, and then we that are spiritual respond to that and allow God to work in that. But the gift, and not the gift, but the word of knowledge coming forth, and we can expect the word of knowledge to come forth during the preaching, and we can expect the word of wisdom to come forth during the preaching, and sometimes it doesn't even happen like that. Now, I'm going to be very careful how we approach this next section. But here you are, and you're talking to, you know, brother so-and-so, or you're talking to sister so-and-so. And sister so-and-so begins to talk to you and just begins to talk to something. You're thinking to yourself, my God, how does she know? Chances are she doesn't. But God does. God does. Now, if you feel like you've got a word of knowledge for somebody, the right thing to do is to go talk to the pastor. That's the right thing to do. Because we want everything to be done decently and in order, and God's not the author of confusion. And so you can sow just as much confusion in an individual's life as you can put help into an individual's life by acting out of order. Because the Bible teaches us, and somewhere I've got this written down, and I'm just preaching and teaching here tonight. So somewhere I've got this written down, but there is a place, and I want to say it's in the book of Romans, maybe if I remember correctly, chapter 13 or something like that. I'm just looking for Romans. I don't see it. I'll come across this sometime. But the Bible teaches us about a gift or the powers being subject to the higher powers. And so you may have a word. You may have been praying and God may have dealt with you about something. But the right thing to do is to be subject to the higher power and to go to the pastor and to say, hey, pastor, you know, I was praying the other day and I just felt this. I felt like brother so-and-so, or I felt like sister so-and-so. And then at that point in time, something is going to happen. Because I'm going to tell you, you know what? Don't say a word about that. Don't say a word about that. Because number one, it may not be the right timing. Number two, you could sow, you know, a whole lot more confusion and heartache and stress and frustration and problems than you can help. Timing is everything. And the way that you present it can be everything. And then, you know, number two, I may say, you know what, I appreciate that. All right, I don't want you to do anything about it. I'll take it from here. And then I may approach that person. I may say, you know what? Like, for instance, one time I was praying and God began to show me something. And it was like in a vision, but God began to show me something. And so I went to my pastor and I told him, I said, I want to talk to you about brother so-and-so. And he said, okay. I said, this is what I see. This is what I feel. And I said, I feel that, you know, and I just began to talk to him. Now, a little bit different because I'm a minister. It's a little bit different. So I said, I just feel like this and this and this and stuff. And I said, you know what? I said, but he doesn't accept your word. He doesn't accept, you know, what you've got to tell him. He doesn't accept the Bible. And I said, and I just feel like there's a situation that you're dealing with him. And as you confront it, I said, this is what's going to happen. He's going to look you in the eye and he's going to start shaking his head no. I said, I just know it. It's going to happen. He's going to start shaking his head no. And I said, and you're going to try to reason with him. I said, but just understand, his heart has already been hardened and he has already made his decisions. I said, I just feel that. And the pastor said, thank you. He said, I'm dealing with the situation with this man. He said, and maybe this will help break him. And so he went to this man and he started talking to this man. And this man was just sitting there. He's like, yeah, stuff. And then all of a sudden he just, you know, as the pastor continued to try to help this man, he just looked at, you know, at the pastor and he just said, you know, and he just started shaking his head no. And the pastor said, you know what? I knew that was going to happen because God has already helped me in this. He said, I had a man that came to me and told me that this is the exact way that you're going to respond. And what you need to do is you need to submit yourself and you need to break. But this individual that came to me told me that you're going to look me in the eyes and you're going to start shaking your head no. The man was like, well, the man is lost today. As far as I know, the man is lost today. All right? So there are things like that. But then there are other times I went to the pastor and said, hey, I said, you know what? I just feel this. And he said, you know what you need to do? I said, what's that? He said, you need to go tell them. I said, well, I wanted to bring it past you, run by you first. He said, that's right. He said, and I'm telling you, you need to go tell them. He said, because if I tell them, they're going to say, well, you already knew about it. But you need to go tell them. I said, well, okay, I will. And so I went and told them. So there are ways to do this. There's right ways, there's wrong ways. But there are ways that we need to do this to stay in order. Amen. God has set the order of the church, and that's the way that it needs to be. So you may be praying, and God may deal with you about something. And you may come to me, and you may say, hey, you know what, Pastor? I feel like this and this, and I just this and this and this and this. And say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you. And that may be as far as it goes, but you have done your responsibility. And that's all that you're required to do. You're not required to see that it makes any difference or happens or anything else like that. That's your responsibility. You have subjected yourself and submitted yourself to a higher power. Your responsibility is fulfilled. It may be something that I need to take some time and pray about and seek God about. I may have a blind spot in that particular area or something. And so I need to pray about that and let God help. I need to look for that and stuff. And so this is the way that God uses it. But for the edifying of the church, to strengthen the church, to build the church up, it's never to tear the church down. You can tell very quickly when somebody comes, you know, and they want to start talking to you about things and give a word of knowledge, but it's to destroy somebody. That's not of God. That's not of God. We don't need that kind of division. All right? So there is these operations that's given to us in the church to operate by. And so this word of knowledge. All right? Oh, right here it is. Romans 13 and 1, right in front of me. If it is a snake, it'll bit me. But it is important to point out that just because that God reveals something to you does not mean that he wants you to reveal it to anyone else. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for as there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained, that be, are ordained of God. All right, so for instance, one time I was praying, seeking God. I was pastoring my first time. Pastoring, and I'm praying, and I'm expecting God to just fill me in on every little thing. And boy, was I wrong. Maybe I just didn't give it hard enough or something. I don't know. But I was praying, and there were two teenage girls in our church. And so I'm praying and seeking God, and God began to deal with me about these two girls, and God showed me some things. And so it's like I had facts about some stuff. Oh, I was ready to tear into them or, you know, put the riot act out on them or something. I was ready. And so I was talking with an elder. And I said, yeah, I said, you know what? God showed me this and this and this. And I said, I'm preparing, you know, getting ready, trying to, you know, to preach this and stuff. And he said, hold on a second. I'm like, okay. He said, so God showed you and God told you everything that's going on. And I said, oh, yeah. God told me this, 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 and this. I just know. There's no doubt in my mind. I feel like God has told me all of this. And he said, I got a question for you. I said, okay. He said, did God tell you to deal with it? He revealed it to me. Doesn't that mean deal with it? No. But now you know how to pray about it. And that may be all God wants you to do right now. Now you can pray with understanding. Oh. Okay. So I didn't deal with it. But it allowed me to know how to pray for them because I knew what they were fighting. I knew what they were involving themselves in. I knew how things were coming. And so I knew how to pray and to set up a defense, but to pray for them and such like that. And so word of knowledge doesn't necessarily mean that we need to act upon it as far as, you know, go tell somebody off or to tell, hey, God told me thus and thus, and Pastor, no. Sometimes it's just word of knowledge and that opens it up so that we know how to pray. And praying with understanding. And then praying with understanding can lead to intensely praying and even praying, you know, in the Spirit and getting into intercessory prayer where the Spirit maketh utterance. But it got there because you got a word of knowledge about something. And at the same time, you need to be very careful that you're not praying amiss. Because if you're praying amiss on something that you're assuming, you're dabbling and dealing with witchcraft. and that the enemy has begun to manipulate your mind. And so now you're presumptuous. You're assuming that so-and-so is involved in this. And you're praying, you know, whether you're praying whatever it is, vengeance or whatever and stuff. And so you're ordering in your praying, you're ordering something to happen that's not even happening and that's not even going on. And you're ordering, trying to order spirits to deal with a situation that's not even there. You're praying amiss. Praise God. Shall I go further in that one? Is there a people that all of a sudden they begin to take, they begin to believe things about one another and hearing things spoken about from saint to saint, which is just gossip. And then all of a sudden I feel the urgency to pray about this one that I heard that they're doing this and I heard that they're doing that. And so all of a sudden I'm going to start praying about this and such. And you know what? That's not the way that it is. And so, you know, you're praying against your pastor and you're praying against this and you're praying against, you know, all of this and all this sin that's in the church and stuff. And I'm praying against all this sin and everything else like that. Well, what are you praying against all this? I'm praying that God deals with it and God deals with it. And then all of a sudden when things begin to happen and such is not even really going on, it's just a perception. It's just a perceived thing. And then all of a sudden, when something begins to happen, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the judgment of God upon them. You're opening yourself up to a spirit. And so, you know what? If God says, then it's said. It is what it is. All right? But if God didn't say it, you need to be careful. Be careful. Praise the Lord. Amen? Praise God. And so this word of knowledge, let's look at some of this word of knowledge. Ananias received a word of knowledge. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 11 through 12. The Lord spake unto Ananias and told him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Well, he didn't even know Saul was there. He knew who Saul was and he was afraid of Saul. But he said, I want you to go to this house and on a street called Straight, and I want you to inquire at the house of Judas for one Saul. Saul is at Judas's house, which is on the street called Straight. And I want you to call for one of Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And Ananias is like, well, I didn't know that. And Saul, and he told me, he said, now Saul has seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands upon him that he might receive his sight. That is a word of knowledge. That's a word of knowledge. It's not an assumed knowledge. It's not being, you know, presumptuous. It's a word of knowledge. This is what's going to happen. I need you to go to the street called Straight. Oh, I know where that's at. You're going to go down to Judas's house. Oh, him. Yeah, and you're going to ask for Saul of Tarsus. He doesn't live there. No, he's there. Oh, really? Yeah, he's there. Ask for him. Okay. And I'm telling you, he's already received a vision of one by the name of Ananias that's going to come and lay hands upon him that he can receive his sight. Is your name Ananias? Yeah. See, it all goes together now. Get moving. Yes, sir. That's a word of knowledge. All right. We could look at a word of knowledge with Peter and somebody else called Ananias. And Ananias and Sapphira, Ananias comes in. He says, hey, we sold the land for this month, for this amount. And he said, really? So you're telling me that it was for this and this? Absolutely. Now a word of knowledge comes down unto Peter. And why is it that you're lying? God spoke to me and said that you're lying to the Holy Ghost. Excuse me, did you see the contract? No. How do you know? You've been looking at my bank account? No. Then how do you know? God just told me. God gave me a word of knowledge. Bam, Ananias fell down dead. Sapphira comes in a little bit later. She said, hey, we sold the land for this much. Really? You sold it for this much? Uh-huh. Why is it that you have conceived together to lie unto the Holy Ghost? And so it was a word of knowledge that God gave unto Peter that would bring fear upon the church. Say, well, how did that happen? How did that bless the church? How did that strengthen the church? Well, there in the very next verses, there in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 11, and great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. And so the word of knowledge is the divine impartation of facts and information, and it is going to bring edification or building up unto the body. All right? So that's the word of knowledge. All right, let's just take a look. We've already dealt with so much of the word of wisdom. Let's just go ahead and finish this up. And so this gift carries first place in Paul's list, as he said, as he begins to put these things out there. And it has to do with the impartation of divine wisdom concerning the best course of action to take at a given time and the most advantageous way to apply knowledge to positively affect the future. Wisdom can be defined as the application of knowledge, judgment, discernment, following the correct course. This gift has nothing to do with man's wisdom, with man's intellect, with one being more wise than another, any more than the gift of tongues has an affinity with a natural language. Oh, you speak 17 languages? Well, you got the gift of tongues. No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. All right, gift of healing, and if a doctor is, if somebody is given to a medical profession, I understand you've got the gift of healing. No, I went to school and I studied and I learned, how to do this. It's not that you got the gift of healing, you just know that, and that's not this. This is the gift of healing, and we'll talk about that some other time. But this is the same way. It's not just by man's wisdom. It's not his intellect. It's not that he's been upon the face of the year, face of the earth for 100 years, and he's seen everything and done everything, and so he's got the wisdom because he's went through the school of hard knocks. No, this is a word of wisdom. This is something that's going to be divinely imparted, and this is how that you need to do it. And so we take a look at this, and I thought that the unique thing on these two words, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, the unique thing about it is that word is the Logos. That's the word that is used. We all remember that one, John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Logos, and that's what this is. There was a Logos of knowledge. There was a Logos of wisdom. It was God-given wisdom, God-given knowledge. And so although Solomon was looked at as the wisest man upon the face of the earth, it did not mean that he had the gift or the word of wisdom. It just meant that he was a very wise man. So I can pray and I can say, God, I need wisdom. And I pray that you would grant me wisdom, that I would be able to help your people. Your word said in James chapter number 1 and verse number 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. I'm asking for wisdom, I'm praying for wisdom, but that doesn't mean that all of a sudden now I've got a word of wisdom. All right? But there are also difference between this gifts and the spirit of wisdom, Ephesians 1 and 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge. So this is supernaturally imparted wisdom, reveals God's course into the future, circumventing potential problems, traps set by the enemy, pitfalls unseen by the natural eye or human understanding. One example of a word of wisdom would be Paul's advice to those that was aboard the ship during the storm. Here he is speaking to all of these shipmates, these men that live their life and make their living on the sea. And they know when a ship is going to sink. They know what a bad storm is, and they know what they need to do. And so they're getting ready to just kill everybody and jump overboard and do their thing. And a word of wisdom comes forth, and Paul says, hey, I'm telling you, God spoke to me and God said that you need to stay on board. Well, that's the most foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. We need to get out of here. No. God said you need to stay on board. If you stay on board, everybody will be saved. And so finally this captain said, you know what? We just need to obey this guy. Well, where did he go to school to learn these things? No, he didn't. It's just a word of wisdom. And everybody that stayed on the ship was safe. And so there is a word of wisdom that God imparts. And you'll hear this coming through the preaching at times. And here you are thinking to yourself, you know what, I'm going to do this. I think that I need to do this and stuff. And the preacher gets to preaching and he didn't even know what he says. And he's preaching away and he just says something. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Hello? straight from the throne room. That's where it came from, right down to you and told you. Yeah, and there'll be times that, you know, the preacher, not just me, but you'll hear other men of God that'll say, you know, they said, you know, God spoke to me and God told me. That's time to sit up and listen. That's the time to get up on the edge of your pew and God's getting ready to speak. When the man of God begins to preach, God's going to speak. But when they say, you know what, God told me, God spoke to me, and God said, it's time to pay attention. It's time to listen. You've had all those questions. Your answer may be right down the pipeline coming your way. It's time to perk your ears up, not time to write notes or text or anything else like that. It's time to listen. It's time to listen because here it comes. Here it comes. And so I've already kind of mentioned to you just about that service in Louisiana. I almost called the name of the town, but there in Louisiana and there I am preaching. I'm going around praying for everybody and all things and such like that, you know. And I go and I tell someone, you know what, this is what you're thinking. This is what's going on in your life right now. And there's the word of knowledge the word of knowledge. This is what's going on and stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You know, you need to be very careful. You need to just whatever it is and stuff. And that tells them what they need to do. So the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom can operate together. But there's sometimes we have all the facts, but we don't know what to do. And there are times that I'm going to tell you, say, you know what? I don't have an answer, but I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. And then God will give that word of wisdom and such. And so there's other times that, you know, for instance, I went in and talked to a pastor one time. It was my pastor at the particular time. I went in and talked to a pastor, and I told him, I said, look, I said, this is the facts. This is what it means. This is what it is. There's the facts and stuff. And he's like, well, you know what, brother? I'm going to help you pray about it because I don't have an answer. I was like, okay. And so I'm walking out his door. I step out his door and take a step out because his office was down. And so I step up on that first step to go out from the back of the platform and stuff. He's coming out of that way and stuff. And he said, Brother Cowan. Yes, sir. And he said, I've got your word. And a word of wisdom came forth from him. And so that's the way that it operates. And as he began to explain it to me and stuff, I knew, this is God. This is God. All right? So God has these things to help us. Why? Because the devil wants you to trip. The devil wants you to fall. The devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to make a laughing stock out of you. The devil wants you to be lost. And so you could be headed down the wrong direction. And you may be saying, well, you know what? What I'm doing is not sin. It's not sin. There's no sin in my life. But a word of wisdom comes forth and says, you know what? But it's the wrong direction. It's the wrong direction. You need to turn around. You need to get back close to the church. You need to do this. Because ultimately, God knows what you're going to face tomorrow. And God knows what you're going to face in 2 weeks. And God's not going to take you by the hair of your head and pick you up and put you back on the right area. But he's sure not just going to let you go to hell. And so he's going to use the gifts of the Spirit and such to be able to help you, to pull you, to help direct you. And it is ultimately up to you to listen to what God would have to say to us. Amen? I'm so thankful for a word of knowledge. I'm so thankful for a word of wisdom. Let's stand here tonight. Amen. But I am thankful for these things because there have definitely been times in my life that I had all the facts and I had no idea what to do. And it wasn't because somebody came to me and said, thus saith the Lord God, you need to do thus and thus. That didn't happen. Sometimes it may have happened, but most times it didn't happen. The most times that I just paid attention. And then all of a sudden through the preached word of God, whether it was a conference, whether it was somebody preaching in our pulpit, whether it was the pastor that was preaching at home, amen, whatever it was, and all of a sudden that dinging and clarion bell begins to ring, ding, 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 and I, whoa, there's my answer. That's exactly what I need to do. And sometimes that answer is just, you know, that preacher can be preaching, then somebody, he just say, I'm just telling you, somebody here tonight, you need to stand still and see the salvation of God. And here I am thinking, I don't know what to do, and I'm trying this, and I'm working here, and I'm doing this. And all of a sudden, the pastor says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And I think, you know what? That's exactly what I need to do. I just need to stop. I don't need to keep pushing. I don't need to keep forcing my way. I need to stand still and let God work it out. The word of wisdom comes. And God helps his sheep. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. God helps his people. Through all of this. Thank God for these things. Thank God for these things. And just as the preacher's praying, God, as I look over across this congregation, give me a word of knowledge for somebody. Give me a word of wisdom for somebody. You ought to be praying as well. God, if I need a word of knowledge, give me a word of knowledge. Let me hear that word of knowledge. Let me know somewhere through the preaching, light my candle. Somewhere through the preaching, spark that fire. Somewhere through the preaching, set the facts out. Somewhere during the preaching, let me know what I need to do. And you can say, well, you know what? That's what I prayed and it didn't happen. You got to keep praying. Consistent prayer. Continual prayer. Continual prayer. Let me just say that God is more pleased with consistency than He is with a sporadic intensity. If God can't count on you and you come in, you know, and on a Sunday night, you know, once or twice a month, you're pumped and fired up and ready to roll. But all the rest of the time, you're just dry chaff. God wants there to be consistency. And God doesn't want you to be consistently bad. Consistently low. But instead of this, God would be much more pleased with this, an ascension and coming higher and higher. Consistency. Consistency. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. And God works. God works in mysterious ways. And that preacher stands up. This is another key. Preacher stands up. He says, I don't know why I'm saying this, but. Woo, you better be listening. Because he has no idea. Somebody does. Somebody knows exactly what he's saying. I don't know why I'm saying this, but. Somebody in that room right then, that's a word of knowledge or that's a word of wisdom for them. God moving. God saying, hey. Preacher doesn't know about this, but I want you to know I know about it. It's God helping us. Helping us. Helping us. Thank the Lord for it. Amen. Why don't we just thank the Lord for it? Let's just take a few moments here tonight. And let's thank God. Why don't you think of a specific situation in your life, a time in your life. Say, God, I thank you for it. You're acknowledging it. You're acknowledging it. God, I see this at work in my life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the time that you did this. I thank you, God. And God, if you did it then, I know you'll do it again. God, you see what's going on in my life. You know what's going on. God, you see I've got all these questions. Tumultuous time in my life. I feel like I'm on that ship that's being thrown about by like a raging sea. And I'm flopping and falling all over. I can't seem to walk straight, and the waves are tossing me to and fro, and I'm sliding from one side to the other side. I'm trying to stand up. I'm trying to get my balance. I'm trying to do right, trying to be right. I just feel like I can't gain ground. And God, I just need something. I just need something. I just need something. God, help me tonight through the Word of God. Help me tonight. Help me tonight. And God begins to help you. And God begins to talk to you. And God begins to say, hey, you know what? Just hold on. It's just a storm. It's going to pass. It'll be over. All you need to do, you don't need to come through with all of these Einstein answers. You don't need to have an answer for everything. You just need to hold on. You just need to stand your ground. You just need to wait. You just need to be patient. You just need to, it's going to pass. It's going to be over. The sun's going to come up and everything. And you know what? It's not going to matter. Nothing is going to matter. It's just working. It's just emotions that are getting out of hand. It's just things that are riling up. It's just things that are happening, and it's just keeping you stirred up. Just let it go. Just let it go. You don't have to have an answer for it. You just need to let it go. You just need to just stand. Just continue on. Just continue on. Because in a few days, it's not going to matter anyway. And it's all going to pass over. Hallelujah. Oh, let's talk to the Lord here tonight.